welcome to this month's Life Notes, which move you one book closer to living 12 categories smart. This is Jesse Colhagen, and you're listening to the Life Note, Living in the Light, by Shakti Gawain and summarized by Marcia Joseph. As always, we'll begin with a quote. Practice following your intuition in everyday things. Say no, even though you're feeling pressured to say yes. Do the thing you want to do, even though you don't know why. Do it on an impulse. Make that call. Enroll in that class. Think of the things you love to do and do them. Living in the light encourages you to lead the most authentic path for your life by trusting your own intuition and following it. This is an energizing book, and you'll feel like you have renewed permission to go after what you truly want. But first, of course, you need to increase your awareness of exactly what you do want. And this book will help you do that by tapping into your inner wisdom. Best-selling author Shakti Gawain is a leader in the world consciousness movement, and her books include Creative Visualization, among many others. In this Life Note, we'll explore Old World versus New World, an internal versus external focus, trusting your intuition, many selves, problems as messages, opening your creative channel, and the path to money. As you can see, there's much to learn in this insightful book, so let's get started. Big thought number one, old world versus new world, external versus internal focus. Quote, we are searching for greater meaning and purpose in our lives and for ways to live more responsibly and harmoniously on our planet. End quote. Shakti Gawain uses the terms old world and new world to explain how we are evolving from more of an external focus to an internal focus, towards increased consciousness and inner spiritual awareness. In our old world paradigm, physical survival was at the forefront of our focus. As a result, we have often been overly focused on the external rather than the internal. She writes, quote, we have continually attempted to find happiness and fulfillment through external things, money, material possession, relationships, work, fame, food, drugs, and so on, end quote. But as people have been able to move away from pure survival as a primary focus, many of us can now move beyond that preoccupation, and this opens new doors. She reminds us that we also need to connect to our inner world, quote, to develop a healthy connection with our inner realms of soul, intuition, and feeling, and to integrate them with our external world, end quote. This integration of external and internal worlds should be familiar to Lifebook members. While we vigorously pursue our goals in areas such as financial abundance, relationships, and a high overall quality of life, we also learn to balance the external with the internal categories, such as spirituality, emotions, character, and intellectual life. You can have the biggest house on the block, but if you're constantly stressed out and on an emotional roller coaster, it's clearly time to pay more attention to your inner world. An important point is to not lose sight of your inner guidance, which is the key to creating the life that you want. The next big thought. Trusting intuition, allowing intuition to guide your focus. Quote, by learning to contact, listen to, and act on our intuition, we can directly connect to this inner wisdom and allow it to become our guiding force. End quote. Intuition seems to get moved to the back burner at times. In school, we're taught to be rational, logical thinkers, and we get rewarded for solving our math problems and answering exam questions in a specific, logical, correct way. But what do we learn about intuition? Are we taught to harness our strong intuitive skills that help us sense when something isn't quite right with a situation? We likely pay little attention to intuition, particularly how to leverage it. It's certainly not taught in school. We might even distrust it or write it off altogether. The author convincingly makes the argument of just how important intuition truly is. In fact, she says, quote, once we accept the reality of a higher power that is channeled to us through our intuition, it becomes clear that many of our personal problems and the ills of the world are actually caused by not following our intuition. End quote. This seems to ring very true. Consider your own personal lessons from the past. Do you remember a time that you felt an inkling that this might not be the right path for you? Perhaps it was a job, a business, or a relationship that didn't work out, and when you looked back, you realized that you had intuitively felt some warning signs that you ignored. You didn't trust your intuition. This probably happens much more frequently than you realize. To remedy this, we need to practice trusting our intuition. One first step is increasing your awareness of that intuitive voice inside of you. For example, Gawain suggests that you can check in with yourself several times a day, or you can also meditate to create the stillness and space for your intuition to be able to come through. Start to trust your intuition and allow it to guide your focus. The more that you can tap into that intuition, the more your life will be channeled in a way that is truly authentic for you and more reflective of what you really want. This is a really powerful idea, and it can be absolutely life-changing. The next big thought. Many selves. Your primary self has a shadow side. Quote, "We are all born with an infinite number of different qualities or energies within us. One of our most important tasks in life is to discover and develop as many of these energies as possible, so that we can be well-rounded and experience the full range of our potential. We can think of these energies as different archetypes, sub-personalities, or selves within us." End quote. In this book, Living in the Light, Gawain approaches this idea of many selves from several different angles, and one that is particularly interesting is the idea of what she calls a shadow self versus our primary selves. As we grow up and more fully form our characters, we begin to have certain energies that become more dominant, and, quote, "these dominant energies become our primary selves," end quote. Perhaps your primary self includes aspects such as the caretaking mother, the pleaser, or some others. What are a few of your primary selves? Perhaps the do-it-yourself, never-ask-for-help self, or the poor-me, helpless self, or the workaholic self? Interestingly, for each primary self, there's, quote, "an opposite energy, which oftentimes has been repressed or denied," end quote. This becomes your disowned self or your shadow side. Essentially, these are the parts of you that you feel the need to hide. So, for example, if you're a pleaser, you might feel the need to stifle your own need to be cared for, and you might then become increasingly resentful. Or your workaholic self has probably denied your own need for freedom, enjoyment, and spontaneity. It can be very enlightening for you to consider your own primary selves and explore the implications of the shadow side that you are repressing. If you can, take a minute and write down two or three primary selves that come to mind for you. Then go back and write down what shadow side you might be repressing as a result. How is this impacting how you operate in the world? Could it be time for your shadow side to come out of the shadow a little bit? The next big thought. Problems are messages. Are you listening? Quote, "When there are problems in your life, the universe may be trying to get your attention. It's saying, hey, there's something you need to be aware of, something that needs to be changed over here." End quote. Our natural reaction to problems might be to curse them, feel a bit sorry for ourselves, and then either to deal with them or ignore them and hope they go away. Unfortunately, what most people don't do is pay much attention to what these problems are trying to tell us. Herein lies the issue. Gawain suggests that problems are messages. Brilliant idea, isn't it? There's something that the universe is trying to tell you, so it's going to throw a problem your way so that you'll definitely listen to it. And if you don't listen to the message initially, she tells us that, quote, "the problems will intensify until you get the message and start to pay attention," end quote. Just imagine that your inner genius has been stuffed into a box and continually ignored. Chances are pretty good that he or she is going to start screaming to get your attention, and it's up to you to listen. Instead of getting frustrated with your problems, begin to look for the wisdom in them. What is your intuition telling you? What is the message that you're not listening to? If you're having problems at work, or problems in your marriage or with your kids, what lies underneath those problems? Is there something that needs to fundamentally change, but you're choosing to ignore the messages? Is there a conversation you need to have? Is there a belief that needs shifting? Is there a wound that needs to be healed and released? Is there a pattern in your life that needs changing? Try to do some brainstorming around a problem of yours and come up with a list of possible messages it's trying to tell you. Pick the one message that seems most true for you. If you listen to that message, really listen to it, what action should you take as a result? And remember, the secret sauce is not just identifying the message, but rather in doing something to address it. The next big thought: opening your creative channel. Find your genius. Quote, "I believe we are all geniuses, each in our own unique way. We will discover the nature of our particular genius when we stop trying to conform to our own or other people's models, learn to be ourselves, and allow our natural channels to open. Through trusting and acting on our intuition, it's possible to bring our natural creative inspiration into every moment, into every area of our lives." End quote. We absolutely love this idea that we're all geniuses, and it's really true, isn't it? However, it can be really easy to forget, or as Gawain points out in this note, we can lose our sight of our gifts by conforming to what other people think we should do or be. In other words, we block our own creative channel. By paying more attention to and following your intuition, you can slowly unearth your own unique genius and allow it to emerge into the world. And chances are pretty good that you'll be a whole lot happier following your inner voice rather than stifling it. Gawain writes, quote, "To whatever degree you listen to and follow your intuition, you become a creative channel for the higher power of the universe," end quote. Pay attention to where your energy goes. Bring consciousness to the little feelings, ideas, visions, and thoughts that surface throughout your day. Look for clues about what really lights you up and makes you excited and energized. In addition to making you happier, learning to honor and follow your intuition will lead you to unparalleled levels of abundance as well. Let's examine that idea next. The final big idea: the path to money. Follow the flow. Quote, "When we follow our inner guidance and move with the flow of energy in our lives, we find we have enough money to do the things we truly need and want to do," end quote. When we open up our creative channel, we increasingly get into that flow state where everything seems to be just humming along almost effortlessly. This idea also translates into a path to money, because when we are in flow, doing work we love and that leverages our unique strengths, that's where the money starts to really flow in as well. However, our energy can also block the flow of money, depending on what kind of energy we're putting out into the world. Gawain clarifies that this energy, quote, "will be attracted to what you need or want or envision. But if the way you operate is on a survival level with money, having only enough money to take care of your basic needs, then that's where your money will go," end quote. Creating that positive energy and that positive flow will lead you on the path towards higher levels of financial abundance. And conversely, having stuck energy with limited thinking will block its flow and lead to even more scarcity, stress, and gripping. So how can we create this positive flow? One helpful idea she includes is to make sure that when you create a budget, that you integrate not just what you need, but also what you want. For example, in her own budgeting, Gawain would add in a fun activity or one or more luxurious items of clothing for that month. The money for these seemed to flow in when she built them into her budget. She explains that, quote, "A budget is like a blueprint. If you create a list, a picture in your mind of what you want to have in your life, you will create the necessary money," end quote. When you begin to trust your intuition and also to be more deliberate about the blueprint you create, money should begin to flow more freely into your life. So there we have it, Shakti Gawain's guide to living in the light, following your intuition, and becoming your most authentic self. We hope you found it valuable and insightful. Thank you so much for listening in. We look forward to sharing more wisdom with you again soon. And until next time, here's to moving one book closer to living 12 categories smart.